Good morning. My name is Andrew, and I'll be your conference operator today. At this time, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Chesapeake Utilities second quarter 2016 earnings call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Beth Cooper, Senior Vice President and CFO, you may begin your conference.
Good morning, everyone. I'd like to welcome those again that are in the room today. We're live today again at Salisbury University. A special thanks to the Purdue School of Business for hosting us again for our second quarter earnings conference call, and a special hello to all those that are joining us on the phone. We're here today to talk about our second quarter and year-to-date results ended June 30th, 2016. Before we begin, as always, I have to talk about the disclaimer that we have that our presentation today may include discussions about forward-looking information, and we would like to refer everyone to our annual report on Form 10-K for 2015, where we discuss the factors that could cause our actual results to differ from our forward-looking statements. Turning to slide 3 to begin, our second quarter results were higher than last year by approximately 11 cents per share. We recorded earnings per share of 52 cents, diluted earnings per share for the quarter. Both on a net income and on an EPS basis, our earnings and our net income were approximately 27% higher than the previous quarter of 2015. You'll see that that was driven by higher operating income both in our regulated energy segment and in our unregulated energy segment. Basically, you'll see approximately $2.6 million of higher operating income, with about $1.6 million or 63% of the increase coming from our regulated energy segment and the remaining 37% coming from our unregulated energy segment. There were a lot of things that happened during the quarter that contributed to that increase, including service expansions, new services, customer growth, pricing amendments, pricing changes in terms, and a lot of things that overall contributed from a lot of our businesses for us to achieve these higher results. Turning to slide 4, first we'll touch on the regulated energy segment. Recall that our operating income, as I showed on the other slide, was up by $1.6 million for our regulated energy segment. That's a result of our gross margin, you'll see, which was up $4.8 million. There were a lot of factors that contributed to that, including $2 million that came from service expansions and new services, $1 million that was generated by our gas reliability and infrastructure program, and we've talked about that in the last couple of quarters. That's a program where we're actually replacing qualifying mains in Florida. To date, we've actually spent about $92 million, and by the end of this year, we'll have spent close to $100 million under this program. In addition, we also had about $820,000 of customer growth that came from beyond service expansions and new services, actually from growth here on the peninsula as well as growth in Florida, and it's split about 50-50. Here on the peninsula, we're achieving anywhere from about 3.2 to 3.6 percent in terms of residential customer growth, and also we're achieving commercial growth as well. In Florida, we've got a lot of strong commercial and industrial growth that's occurring. The other thing that happened, we added about $555,000 in terms of additional margin from interim rates that we've basically implemented in our Delaware division. In February, we were authorized to implement $2.5 million of interim rates on an annual basis. And so that's the quarterly impact from the second quarter. And lastly, our CHP plant began operating in June and actually was fully operational and selling steam to Rainier in July. But in June, there was actually electricity and natural gas margin that we generated on the regulated side that represented about $432,000 out of a total of $551,000 of margin overall from the plant. Moving to slide 5, in terms of the unregulated energy segment, once again, you'll see we talked on the very first slide about there being, 37% of the increase in our operating income came from the unregulated energy segment, of which it was about $1 million. And that really came from, several different areas. including about $708,000 from our Aspire Energy subsidiary. Recall we acquired that one last year on April 1st. They added an additional $708,000 in the second quarter of this year versus last year because of some amendments that we made in pricing contracts and some other pricing terms that we had. In addition, we generated about $464,000 of incremental margin also from a sales agreement entered into by our natural gas marketing entity. You know, there was all of the transactions that they're pursuing. This happened to be with an another Ohio LDC company, and they're finding other opportunities to expand in terms of new customers. And then lastly, our propane distribution operations also reported increased margin of about $370,000, and that's primarily from increased deliveries, a result of timing, but also certain of our rate classes are also experienced higher volumes in terms of what we deliver to them. So on a year-to-date basis, you'll see overall, we started out the year, and I'll show on the next slide, where weather really hit us coming out of the first quarter. With the results of the second quarter, we actually surpassed on a year-to-date basis where we were last year by approximately 2 cents. And to me, it's pretty remarkable, specifically when we look at slide 7 in just a minute, where you'll see we had about 38 cents of what we call unusual items that our growth was able to overcome. So as I mentioned, turning to slide 7, 38 cents of unusual items comprised of 26 cents of weather, 5 cents from a gain that we had last year, largely from a customer billing system settlement, and then lastly, we predicted in 2015, retail margins were very, you know, much higher than they had been when you look back over a period of time, and we actually expected those margins to begin to decline, and they did. And that represented about 7 cents. So 38 cents that was actually impacting where we, in a sense, started this year off. You'll see right below that we show increased gross margins of 40 cents that we're able to completely overcome that. And then because we don't have a full calendar year for Aspire Energy, we're also showing the full impact of Aspire Energy, which you'll see at the bottom was 9 cents. So overall, we were able to fully overcome the weather and the other unusual items, and right now we're sitting ahead of where we were on a year-to-date basis. So with the growth that we've had and I talked about a little bit that came through, certainly in the second quarter, what was there in the first quarter, that's been accomplished because of the capital expenditures that we've been investing in for many years. When you look at our past over the last 5 years, and we've actually included this year in that number, but when you look at a 5-year period, we've invested, if we fully invest the $180 million that we're looking to invest this year, about $679 million. And that's really remarkable given where our book capitalization is as a company. The CapEx that we have on the horizon for this year includes, well, the dollars were for the 8-5 CHP plant, which went fully operational. Also, an expansion of facilities to serve the Calpine power plant in Dover. We have a reliability project. Both of those projects were recently approved by the FERC, and so we're moving forward and beginning to look, you know, the construction part of those projects. And then lastly, I talked about the Florida GRIP program, where, as I mentioned, at the end of this year, we'll have close to $100 million. 82% of the investments that we're looking to make are in the regulated energy business, but certainly we're also looking for opportunities to grow on the unregulated side as well. As we've continued to grow, we wanted to have a balance sheet that can support that growth. And you'll recall I talked about us investing about $679 million. When you look at where our balance sheet is at the end of June, our total capitalization, book capitalization for the company is approximately $716 million. So we've really invested a lot to see where you can really see that when you look at where our balance sheet is. In terms of our capital structure, we're sitting at about 53% equity to total capitalization. On a permanent basis, it's about 73%. And when you look at what this shows, you'll see that, you know, our balance sheet has been growing as a result of the capital that we've been investing in. And one of the things that we've looked to do is to have both short-term and long-term facilities available that help us as we're looking to finance that CapEx. We talked about this on the last quarter. We have temporary debt facilities in place, both lines of credit as well as a revolver that represent basically about $320 million in the aggregate. We also have a long-term debt shelf facility that we've actually partially committed to take a draw off of that facility in the amount of $70 million. So we've put in place, you know, Tom's done a great job of helping build and put into place those instruments that help us finance things both on a short-term basis as well as over the longer term from a debt standpoint. And as we continue to make that CapEx, certainly we will look to access the debt and equity markets as needed to finance those capital expenditures. Ultimately, targeting a capital structure of 50 to 60% equity to total capitalization. While we're, you know, certainly focused on growing as a company, having earnings growth, we want dividend growth that's supported by earnings growth. Most recently in May, our board increased the dividend by 6.1%. Over the last 5 years, that's 5.8%. Moving to slide 11, so as we think about the CapEx that we talked about that's out there on the horizon, still yet to be done, and as we think and look forward to the future, trying to provide a picture or a snapshot of where the margin growth is going to come from. We have a couple of tables that we include in our press release that show what margin has been achieved in the past, what projects, as we talked about, the White Oak Main Line, the GRIP, all of those projects that are underway, those that are in the public domain, we try to lay out what the margin growth is that we know so that it's out there for the financial community to see. And so for 2015, we reported gross margin of basically from new projects about $25 million. And that came from, you know, Aspire Energy, that new acquisition on April 1 added 6.3. We had some other natural gas transmission expansions, some short-term, some longer-term, basically $7.7 million of margin from those. GRIP added $7.5 million. The electric rate case added 3.7. Compared to the prior year of that $25 million, $19 million of that margin was incremental over the prior year. As we look at where we're sitting for 2016, with the projects that are either done or are in the process of being done, we expect to have gross margin from those projects of close to $48 million. So well in excess of $20 million incrementally from those new projects either recently constructed or to be constructed. We try to also show as we're moving out to 2017 and 2018, what does it mean in terms of increased margins? And some of what you're seeing is there's projects, for example, we have the 2017 system expansion for Eastern Shore, which will replace some of the temporary services that we're providing right now. We're still in the process of negotiating preceding agreements. So the margin that results from that project isn't reflected in the table. But we're always focused on trying to continue the margin growth that we've seen in the past. And you'll see there's $9 million that's already been identified of incremental margin from 17 over 16, and then another $3 million in 18 over 17. But there's other projects that are in the pipeline. There may be interim services also that may also reoccur that aren't necessarily in here because we don't know for certain that those are going to happen. And so with that, I'm going to turn it over now to Mike McMasters, our president and CEO, and he's going to talk about our strategic platform for growth.
Thanks, Beth. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
A little loud, or be all right. I guess turning over to the next slide, this conversation, I guess, we have quite frequently with our investors, and I'd like to maybe go through it real shortly here. The first thing is the bottom of the slide, the triangle. The engagement strategy provides the strategic infrastructure for sustainable growth. What we're really looking for here is that you know, we've got highly engaged employees that are doing a lot of great things out in the field, and ultimately, it's those employees that are making this stuff possible. And we have strategies that help engage our employees. I'm going to try to do the mic here. How's that? Is that working? There we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that. In any event, it says engaged employees that are doing a lot of the great work that's making this stuff possible. And, with that, we also expect a great deal of work focused on safety. And, you know, when you have that as a foundation, that provides you with the opportunity to, I'm going to say, operate your existing systems in a reliable, safe manner. And then you start adding on to that, engaging with the communities and strategic thinking that we do, and we position ourselves for growth. And once we've done that appropriately, then we're able to move up the chain or up the triangle and get to developing new business lines and executing existing business unit growth. And that's been where Beth's just been talking about all of these growth opportunities we've been developing and executing on. And we're looking both in our existing territories, we're looking beyond our existing territories, and we're looking for new services. And then finally, once you do that properly, you get the results that we're seeing. One, safety awards, top workplace and top leadership awards, community service awards, achieving top quartile growth in earnings, achieving top quartile growth in total shareholder return. Going to slide 13, this just provides a little bit more detail on the conversation we just had. But as you can see, it's the employees, the strategic alignment, the execution, and then also those results in top workplaces, which, again, is a key component of what we're doing. Engagement with the customers and the communities on slide 14, safety and reliability, environmental stewardship, community service, and business partner. I guess just a couple things here more recently. In the past month, I think we've had two different ribbon-cutting ceremonies for things that we're working on. One, Warwick Mushroom Farms, basically a customer in Cecil County that we recently extended service to, and basically they've been able to expand their facility and save money while they're doing it. We're there with Governor Hogan from Maryland for that ribbon-cutting. And just earlier this week, Delaware Transit Corporation, they're purchased 50 buses. They're going to convert to propane that will be fueling those buses. We spent over 2 years working with Delaware Transit Corporation to make that happen. Next slide, strategic planning and thinking. The key here is that, you know, we're constantly trying to grow. We want sustainable long-term growth. And so, you know, the process that we use to help facilitate that is outlined here. One, strategic thinking. It's more really about the thinking than it is the planning. You have to have a plan, but as you know, as soon as you have a plan, the next day something changes and you have to react to that. So the strategic thinking that goes into the plan prepares us for those types of changes. The second change, we made this probably, I don't know, 10 or 12 years ago now. You know, we used to do strategic planning based on the top executives would get together, come up with a strategic plan, and provide everybody with their insights on what we should do looking forward. And ultimately, quite frequently failed. And so we decided to go out to the business units and engage every one of our business units in the strategic planning process and ask them to tell us, well, how can you grow the business? And then when you move into the second box, you're saying that we provide targets for them that exceed what they can do if they continue doing the same business as usual. And after a couple of years, you would start to see all of these opportunities start coming to the table and then executed. And so that has been a significant change in our process and has led to us developing these opportunities. And then finally, the last box, we update it every year. We also, if we see changes that are significant, we'll change the plan in mid-year. One of the key processes, another one of the key processes that we use is the funnel and this process and the growth council, I guess, really. But the funnel, if you will, talk about that first on the left-hand side. With the work that we're doing, you know, we're obviously gathering information, conducting feasibility analysis, proposal development, et cetera. You'll see the numbers. You know, quite a few projects start at the top of the funnel, and a very few make it to the bottom. And that's part of the discipline that we go through. We were in Boston a year ago or so, and they asked us a question about, well, how many projects do we reject? And it caught me by surprise a little bit, but I didn't really give a very good answer. When I started thinking about it, well, it's very few, actually. But they think their thinking was that maybe we take everything that we see, and that's not the way that the process works. The Growth Council, we implemented that probably 2 or 3 years ago. The thought process was that with the complexity and the volume of projects we had coming through the business, we wanted to get more people engaged in the review. And so we extended it out and started including, you know, executives from operations, engineering, business development, regulatory, financial, and legal backgrounds to sit in on these project evaluations and ask questions. And so, you know, like Jeff Householder out of Florida would be involved in those conversations that we usually conduct in Dover. But Jeff would tie in over the phone. We'd tie in an outside legal counsel on the phone. Also, Jim Moriarty, who's here today, general counsel, sits on that, as well as really Beth, Steve, other executives that are here in the room. And all of this is supports our sustainability. If we're making smart investments and earning returns, then we can get access to the capital necessary for us to grow. Performance quadrant on slide 17 just shows the results of what we've been doing for the last 3 years. When you look at the, the vertical axis, you'll see weighted average return on equity. The horizontal axis, capital expenditures, total capitalization. Both of these we think are key indicators as far as how we're going to perform. And you can see our return on equity, we're significantly above the median, which is the dark line, slightly under 10%. And if you look at capital expenditures, total capitalization, you can see we're way out there in 25 or 26% of the of our capitalization we're spending on average every year. And that's what Beth mentioned a moment ago about the capital we're deploying. And so we're deploying high levels of capital and earning high returns, which you would think would drive shareholder return. So slide 18, you can see shareholder return over the last 20, 10, 5, 3, and 1 year. And as you get shorter, you know, the 5 years, 23, 3 years, 27, and 1 year, 25. So it's been working for us. We try to look at this thing another way as well. You know, we've been comparing ourselves to our peer group, and we've always been performing very well. So we thought we'd look at a broader group, and we decided we'd look at all the New York Stock Exchange companies and do the same calculation. You know, where do we stand? What percentile are we for the total NYSE? And we were pretty shocked the first time we did this and actually outsourced the calculations to make sure that we weren't making mistakes. But you can see a 10-year 93rd percentile, 5-year 92nd percentile, 3-year 94th percentile, and the 1-year 85th percentile. Now we're just hoping that this doesn't jinx us when we talk about these numbers, but they're pretty, obviously incredibly high. Beth mentioned a little earlier, we put the project, the Eight Flags Energy Project, is fully operational in July of 2016. This is a pretty significant accomplishment. A few years ago, our customer approached us and indicated that they were going to make some changes at the plant and eliminate the need to buy electricity from us. We're the electric provider on the island. When that occurred, our team in Florida decided they needed to look into this thing a little bit harder and figure out if they could come up with a different plan for the customer. And so after going through the plan a few times, getting some consultants to help, and working with the customer, they were able to come up with a strategy to build a combined heat and power plant that would save the customer money, would save the electric customers on the island money, and also generate returns on capital for us. And so it turns out to be a very successful project that, as indicated, generates about $7.3 million of margin a year. Now, talking about executing on current strategies, Beth mentioned earlier a little bit that we have a pre-filing of for the FERC right now, and that project has about, you can see, about 50 miles of pipeline looping and extensions on Delmarva. We're upgrading the interconnect with Texas Eastern Transmission Company, and also adding to our compression in Maryland, or Delaware, Pennsylvania, excuse me. And then up to 88,000 decatherms a day of new capacity. Now, 86,000 decatherms may not mean a lot to you, but that's the equivalent of 86,000 residential customers on a peak day. So that's a big, increase in our capacity. So again, this is a pre-filing, which basically enables us to work through a lot of the permitting questions that exist, and also subject to, you know, tuning in a little bit as we learn more about the customers. We're still in the process of negotiating those contracts. The growth strategy. When you think about a utility, the big thing that we face, there's two primary constraints on our growth. One, you get an assigned footprint. That's good from one standpoint. People can't enter your footprint. The other side of that is it limits what you can do outside of your footprint. It also constrains your growth. If you're constrained within that footprint, then your growth rate will be a function of the growth rate of the community you're serving. And so it's a pretty big constraint. And so what we've done is we've started saying, well, look, we need to expand our ability to provide different, new and different services. And so we're looking to do that, and this the Flags project is a good example of that. The second thing that we're doing is that we're looking beyond the footprint, looking for territories that are not being served, and trying to generate or develop opportunities there and build facilities there to serve new territories. The second constraint that we face is rate of return regulation. When you think about it, a utility is basically allowed to earn roughly 9.5% on the equity they have invested in the facilities. And so if you're doing a great job and you're able to earn 10, 11, 12, 15, what ends up happening is you reduce rates to compensate for that return that's in excess of what the regulators deem as appropriate. And so what we're doing is we're saying, well, okay, if we're doing a very good job of identifying and developing opportunities, then we should be able to earn these higher returns. And how can we do that? And so we look at ways to do that on an unregulated basis or on a lightly regulated basis. And that essentially is what we're doing. And you can see the variety of strategies that we have laid out on the slide under the growth strategy. And with that, we'll take questions.
At this time, I'd like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Spencer Joyce with Hilliard Lyons. Your line is open.
Yes, Mike. Good morning. Nice quarter.
Hey, good morning, Spencer. Thank you.
Beth, maybe a question for you here first. I know we saw a little bit of margin impact from the Eight Flags and Ryanair venture, which was a nice little surprise for me. I was a little surprised it came on the regulated side. I know some of that is, or ultimately, I believe some of that will be unregulated margin. And the question is, what is the split between what the reg and non-reg gross margin will be from that whole consolidated project once it's at kind of a full run right there?
Well, basically, Spencer, right now the $7.3 million that we have out there includes the sales of the steam to Rainier and also includes some of the regulated margin that's also occurring. So we need to provide, while we put, because there was some incremental or as you mentioned, early margin, we're going to go back, and as we lay out the third quarter, we'll actually provide more specifics about the pieces. But the pieces that you had for the second quarter included, it was about $432,000 on the regulated side and then a very small piece to get you to the 551 on the unregulated.
Okay, gotcha. So we with Q3 maybe Q4 we'll see a little cleaner split there.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Shifting over to the CapEx budget for this year, I know we usually lag the whole budgeted amount, but I was wondering if the FERC approval announced just this morning for the reliability expansion may push us a little closer to the full budgeted amount this year, or really in general, just if that FERC approval has any shift on the outlook for the rest of 16.
As I showed on that one slide, right now the forecast is just under $180 million. What we've looked at, Spencer, in terms of kind of looking at it month by month with the approvals that we have, I think, you know, what we're seeing right now is we at least should come in, I think, somewhere between, you know, the 150 to 170, but because there's that developmental capital of $30 million that's also laid out on that slide. But, you know, it's going to be fairly close. We're $70 to $72 million in for 6 months. And when we compare that to our spend, even looking at last year, it's tracking pretty close. So I don't think we're going to be way far off, but you could be somewhere between $160 to $180.
Okay, perfect. I'll be able to update a couple things with that. And then finally, on the long-term capital side, I know we have an agreement now for the $70 million of long-term debt. I may have missed it. What is the or is there specific timing on that when we should model that in?
We can take that long-term debt. We basically have until the end of April of 2017 to pull that debt. The debt will be at 3.25%. And so right now, Tom and I, you know, we continue to monitor it. Part of that will be based on the spending. There's also, you know, we have some, regulatory proceedings and filings that are underway. And so we look at an overall project strategy and when our project's going into service coupled with our regulatory considerations. But at the latest we can draw that down, it'll be April of 2017.
Okay, perfect. So it's just on essentially an as-needed or as-desired basis on your end?
The $70 million is locked in, so we will draw $70 million of long-term debt before or by April 28th of next year. Then we have another $80 million that we have on a shelf with Prudential that goes out for 3 years from when we initially entered into that. And so, you know, we can basically take that $80 million. We can, you know, negotiate that with Pru at the point that we decide based upon the timing of our CapEx. You know, we can pull that down at a later time. But $70 million is committed. We're pulling it. The question is between now and April 28th, when do we draw?
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for the color, and good luck with the Investor Day next week.
Thank you, Spencer. We'll miss you.
Yep. Sure thing.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Greg Cox with Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Your line is open.
Congratulations, Mike and team, on a terrific quarter. I think it was a great performance. My question piggybacks on Spencer's question relative to the FERC approval of the Eastern Shore Natural Gas $36 million reliability project. You talked a little bit about the capacity increase on slide 21. Have you had an opportunity to quantify the margin benefit that you expect from the project? It might be a question for Steve, but any color that you can provide there?
Yes, Greg, I want to try to get to the slide real quick here, but on that, I think it's slide 11. Trying to get back there. There's a slide where we have the gross margin table, and I have a line there. It's actually slide 11, and on there we've shown that right now our assumption in our future margin table is that it'll be approximately $4.5 million on an annualized basis, and it could be approximately half of that we're estimating for 2017. So $2,250,000 is right now what we've got in our margin projections.
Thanks, Beth.
Thank we're in, and I'll further comment, you know, part of that, we've got the rate case filing that, you know, that we're undertaking with Eastern Shore. We're required to come back in. And so, you know, that with that reliability project, it will, you know, it's included within, you know, the rolled-in treatment, and this is our best estimate right now, but it would, you know, it could change as we move through that process. And Steve, would you like to add anything?
No, Beth, that's exactly right. It's no new capacity. You're exactly right, Beth. There's no new capacity associated with the project. Again, it's a safety and reliability project, and will be rolled into the rate case. And the FERC did authorize rolled-in treatment, so it will be recovered through the rate case. Next year, we'll be filing, you know, somewhere in the December or January time frame. Thank you, Greg.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to Mike McMaster.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. You know, we appreciate your interest in the company. I can tell you everybody's dedicated to doing the things necessary to continue to drive our growth. We realize that we're responsible for generating returns on capital that are attractive, and we're committed to doing that. So thank you very much.
This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.